Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, welcome to our show. We'd like to say good morning, good morning, good morning. Today our show is Operating in Love as an Anointed Church. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen? Amen.
Oh, Father God, we are so thankful this morning, Father God, to be touched by your loving and tender, kind hand this morning, Father God. It's throwing in up, dear Heavenly Father, the compassion, dear Heavenly Father, for your children, your creation, Father God. So we ask now, Father God, that your spirit speak through us and in us this morning, dear Heavenly Father, that one might be touched, saved, delivered, and set free. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Jesus. For the sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Again, our topic is Operating in Love as an Anointed Church, and we will be discussing our faults in having a religious attitude toward others in the church and not being able to operate in love by using our own grace to fulfill God's purpose and calling on our own life. And today we'll be coming out of the Message Bible, and we're going to be coming from Ephesians, the second chapter, 8 through 10th verse. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. And that is the word of God.
For the people of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, we've had a glorious morning this morning. We was listening to one of our favorite pastors on TV, and we started talking. He was ministering about grace today, and it really kind of fired us up and made us just look at some things that we have done ourselves. You know, I was sharing with my husband that I can definitely relate to, you know, having that religious attitude toward others in the church, thinking that our leaders should be doing more or doing things differently, and not understanding that in ministry, because we are human, that we're going to be flawed, we're going to have problems, we're going to do things that other people see as wrong or different, you know, or something that shouldn't be done. You know, we make mistakes along the way. And I was telling him that we don't realize that on our way to our own ministry, we're going to face these same dilemmas, and we're also going to face that same opposition. But looking at leaders from a spiritual point of view, because our flesh tells us what we were talking about was how if we don't have those mother-father figures in our life, you know, we begin to look at these people for that. Instead of looking at them for this relationship to help us develop our relationship with God, we try to develop a fleshly relationship with them as mother, as father. And we fall short in doing that because now we want them to be everything that we didn't get. And we hold them accountable to that. And that's churchy.
Very churchy. Sharing my experience with my bishop and how in the beginning, you know, it was so easy for me to be drawn into that because of that missing from my life growing up and how much of an appeal that was to me, you know. And by him being as charismatic as he was and me being young, a young Christian, I fed on that, you know, and I fed on that to the point where, you know, I started to to mimic and imitate him. You know, his personality and persona was kind of, you know, I was so drawn into it, you know, that I was losing my own self-identity, you know, as far as, you know, listening at the message instead of being drawn to that individual. And a lot of times that happens because if we're not careful.
Right.
I had also made mention of how, you know, when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, you know, and how the Israelites took the gold, you know, mm-hmm. the things that God had blessed them with and made a graven image and began to worship that image.
Right.
You know, so we got to be careful that we don't begin to worship the creation instead of the creator. Because a lot of times we are blinded by those things that, because we're not really, you know, spiritually mature enough to discern those things, you know, and we get kind of drawn into it to a point where, you know, we begin to worship that individual.
Right.
Instead of worshiping the God in that
individual. And that's one of the lessons that I had to learn, that, you know, we got to discern the difference between being attracted to the anointing, you know, instead of the physical body.
Right.
And a lot of times, depending on how the person is looking or what they're wearing, you know, we get so attracted to the flesh, you know, and what happens is that even in the churches, what we see a lot of times is the flesh, is the showtime, and those are the things that we judge by. And we do end up missing the message or missing the connection that we need to be making in our relationship with God, because we're supposed to be there to develop that relationship with God. But instead, we want to develop a relationship with the people, you know, with the bishop, with the apostle, you know, with the pastor. You know, we want to get closer to them. A lot of times, you know, I hear, you know, when the person says, give God some reverence, let's give God some praise, you know, and we clapping, and then they say, and our leaders, give our leaders a hand, and you hear a loud, yes, you know, because we make it such a reverence to them,
yeah.
You know, and it's not as big as the reverence that we give to God,
man.
You know, and that shows where our mentality and our spiritual immaturity is as a people. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about was being able to understand that. I was telling my husband that, you know, I had wrote the post about understanding that our leaders are people. They're people. They're people, just like us. They're people. They're going to have flaws. They're going to have problems. They're going to have circumstances. And whenever we see these people, because we put them on such a high threshold, that when we see the humanity in them, oh, we so outraged.
Shocked.
Yeah, you know.
We shouldn't be.
We shouldn't be, you know. But that's part of our judgmental attitude toward them, you know. And that's why I was telling you earlier, I learned so much over these last few years about the differences, especially being in our own ministry, because we face the same opposition. You know, the word says, judge lest you be judged. And everything that we think that we know about ministry and how ministry should be operated, we'll find out that the same things that we think somebody else should be doing, there's somebody thinking we should be doing something.
Right.
You know. And we have to be reminded that, just like 1 Corinthians, you know, I was telling you about, they wrote the letters, you know, I'm a letter writer, you know, I'm a confronter. I believe that if there's something that God leads me to identify, to talk to the person, tell the person, because they are human, they do need help. You know, like you was talking about the sponsorship that we have in ENA, you know. We need somebody else over us. That's why everybody that's in ministry has a covering, has a guide, you know, and they should be listening to that guide and have a connection to that guide, because if you go out on your own, eventually that's where you at. You're no longer up under the anointing that God gave you, you under you. Mm-hmm. You know, you going by your own ways of thinking, your own ways of doing things, and that's what other people can see and recognize and be afraid of.
Right.
You know.
And as the scripture was saying, you know, the finished works of Jesus Christ has already been accomplished.
Amen.
With the cross. You know. Now he's saying with the anointing that he puts on our lives will allow us to do the greater works in him.
Amen.
And that's the anointed church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church has the anointing because it's the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the anointed one and his anointing. So if we're operating in his word with that anointing, you know, there should be more deliverance. There should be more people getting saved and healed, delivered and set free, you know. So we have to learn to operate in his anointing so that we can accomplish those greater works that the word of God says that we should be able to do, especially in these last days. But if it's always showtime, we always looking to criticize those that have trying to use the gift that God has graced them with in the church, not just to entertain, but to help people that need to overcome and need to be saved and delivered. But we go with that religious mindset, we never really see or hear the message that is being sent, even if it's through dance or song or the spoken word. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take those religious blinders off so that we can have an ear to hear and spiritual eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Amen.
You know, it's a shame. We had watched a post the other day of this young lady that was crying out for help.
Amen.
She has some mental health issues. She has some literacy issues. She was talking about how she had needed medication and folks had just gave her a prescription without really sitting down and consulting with her, you know, as a physician should. And a lot of people were saying that, you know, because how she articulated or the lack of articulation of what she was trying to say, that she wasn't understood. People couldn't understand what she was saying and stuff of that nature. But this was a woman that was crying out for help. And at the end of her statement, she said, you know, all she wanted was love, you know. Something that she had never really had or received in life, you know. And she appeared to be maybe in her 20s, maybe 30s, you know. But in that point in your life, never have been loved to know what love is or have been loved by anyone. That's a sad commentary for somebody's life.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? So as the body of Christ, we need to try to touch those type of people. And what I love about, after you told me about it, then you showed me the post, and you told me that you had reached out to this young lady. The young lady lives in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And you reached out to the young lady, gave her your phone number, you know. That's compassion. That's showing that Christian love that we're supposed to have for one another, you know. But we're sitting up in church being critical of folk right there in front of us, you know. And it's time for the body of Christ to stop that. You know, we have a responsibility to love one another. That was a commandment that was given to us, you know. And we got to stop being so religious and so critical of one another and allow that love to go from heart to heart that the Bible tells and speaks to us about. And I guess it just breathed my heart this morning. And I just wanted to speak out on that to the body of Christ and let us know the time is running out, you know. And when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
We need to start really looking at ourselves and seeing what it is that we're doing or not doing, you know. And we need to change in order to bring more souls, you know. I mean, when we get that altar call and people come up front to take the right hand of fellowship, what is it that they're really getting?
Right, because that's another thing that we was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, being able to take these people, nurture them, help raise them up, in Christianity. Don't just leave them to the point where they just church goers. You know, don't leave them being right, because what happens a lot of times is that we're losing these people that still don't feel loved. They still don't feel worthy. They still don't feel cared about. They don't believe that all the hype and all the stuff that they done heard and the little feelings that we get when we first start going to church, that maybe I belong here, they lose that because we don't reach back out to them. You know, just like you were saying, you know, with you being a man of God and an avid church goer, you know, attending, you know, you got your men's ministry every Saturday. You know, if you miss two or three Saturdays, somebody should be saying, "Hey, Elder Clay, where are you?" You know, if somebody's gonna say, "I want to be a part of this church. Make me a part of this church. Help me learn how to become a part of this church." And I'm not talking about using me, you know, because I've been in places where people want to use your talents and your gifts, but they don't want you. They only want your talents and your gifts. They don't really care about your
shine.
Yeah, they don't really care about your salvation. So they want is for you to be, able to be the type of person that can do a job in the church. You know, sometimes we put people in these jobs in the church before they're ready for that kind of responsibility. You know, that's another thing that can take people out of their understanding of what it means to be Christ-like, because we got to teach people how to be Christ-like before we put them in these positions. We got to do that, because you calling everybody, you can't call everybody a minister. You know, that's not everybody's
discipleship.
Calling.
We're supposed to disciple one another.
Amen.
You know, put the imparting them that word, you know, and show them, you know, the principles and the techniques of how to be a witness for Christ. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things we need to develop first,
right,
before we start plugging people into these different auxiliaries in the church and wanting them to function.
Right.
You know, because you might see something in them that, you know, well, you good at this, so we're going to put you here. You know, but where's your spiritual foundation at?
Right.
You know, where, how far are you matured in the word, you know?
To be
because
able to
you can still
work.
Be able to do that work in your natural ability,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you still got some issues that you need to deal with in your spirituality.
And that's
in
true.
In your personality.
And that's true.
You know,
because
people coming in to mm-hmm. ask you about something, you still got an attitude.
Come on now, there you go.
You know, you mm-hmm. still got some stuff in
Come
you that need to be rooted out,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you can show the love of God when people come to you needing that compassion,
right,
needing that sympathy and empathy, you know,
mm-hmm.
to help them to get where they need to be,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? But there's so many people getting jobs and positions in the church with attitude,
mm-hmm.
ushers with attitude,
mm-hmm.
you know, deacons with attitude,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, with baggage,
right,
you know. Not saying that we're perfect, but we're just trying to lay out, you know, what needs to be done in order for the body of Christ to be the body of Christ.
Right.
To get that schism out so that we can have that true anointing and that love that permeates from being children of the true and living God.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about, the church of Christ, that anointing, you know, that's what delivers, you know, that's what delivers and set free and heal. The anointing, you know, that lift burdens and destroy yokes. We're in the body, so we have that anointing. Now we need to learn how to operate in that anointing and in that love that Christ gives us.
Right. That's right. It's the word. It's very important that we get to
Glory
understand.
To God.
Yes,
mm.
God, yes.
Whew.
That we get to understand that we want to be able to help in any capacity that we can. And just like we were talking about this morning, if each person would just go toward that desire, just go, just have a desire to be there, you know, to be in a helping position, a serving position where we belong. If we would just get in that position right there, then we would have so many more people that would understand what it's like to be a Christian, because they'll start seeing examples of a real Christian. Because most of the time, the word Christian gets so much flack, you know, gets such a bad rap, you know, because we got people that want to claim Christianity but don't want to be Christ-like. And
Christians, you got angry Christians, yes. You got rebellious Christians, you got deceiving Christians, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But take the Christian off of that, and what you got it. And that's what you really got, and that's what the people see, and that's what takes the people out of believing that there's any change in a person being a Christian,
right.
You know. And we got to understand that, because we have leaders that put themselves in those positions and continue to lie, to cheat, to steal, to deceive, you know. They are making bad.
Yeah.
They're making things feel bad.
And they're bringing reproach against our God.
Okay.
You know.
And they harming people.
And they
you know.
And
it themselves.
Says, the scripture says, you know, woe to those that make these little ones stumble.
Amen.
You know, it says better put a milestone around your neck and be cast into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So we have to be very careful of how we present ourselves, especially as ministers and elders and of the church at that up front.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We've got to be very careful. And I like, you know, when you speak about taking that inventory,
mm-hmm.
something we should do daily. Look, Lord, what I don't see, Lord, is that in my heart. Show me, you know, and what I can change, help me to change.
Right.
Through the power of your Holy Spirit, because we want to be ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
We want to set an example for what true love, loving our neighbor and loving our enemies, you know,
mm-hmm.
as well as our friends,
right.
is really all about.
That's right.
You know, and it's something that in our humanity we can't do without the anointing of Jesus Christ
Amen.
In us, without the love of Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
It just don't work that way. On our best day, we couldn't do it without him. Because if we could, then what was the purpose of Calvary's cross? Anyway.
Yes.
You know, it's that finished work that we need to operate in order to make our lives successful in the work that we do, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the name of Jesus. So, you know, I'm so grateful that, you know, we had this conversation this morning, and it stirred up our spirits to get on the air and share this with the body of Christ, because we really need to get serious about what it is that's going on, you know, in this world.
And
you know, they
had
the things that's going
mm-hmm.
on in Baltimore. I still didn't get the whole full scope of what that was all about. But it's a world that's falling apart. You know, our law enforcement and the neighborhoods and lots of people everywhere, you know, because it's those last days we're in. And the enemy's attack is he's
everywhere.
Yeah, and he's cranking it up,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because he wants to get as many souls as he can,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's
so
right.
If we're on the front line, we need to be equipped to do the work of the
kingdom.
And
we got to be open-minded, you know, to I don't want to say criticism, but suggestions, you know. Even as leaders, we still need to be listeners.
Yes.
We can't be so closed-minded that we think that we the only people with God's cell phone number, you know, God beeper number. We got to be able to hear the people,
yeah.
you know, hear the complaints
so
of the people,
important.
You know, hear the needs of the people,
and, like
and
you
understand
said before,
that
when a person is crying out, if you listen to what they're saying, they're telling you what
yes,
they need.
Exactly. And don't ignore those cries. Because this is how people get so lost in the world. Because when they come to the church, they can't find what they need, you know. And I know that every church can't fill every need, but there are some churches that need to fill a need,
God,
the
God,
need,
God,
you know,
God,
when
so
when you open
God.
Up the door. Yeah,
yeah.
God can, and
yeah.
he will.
Yeah.
And he will do it.
He will do
he
it.
He will do it, you know, and be grateful for that, but we still, as people here on this earth, the ones that are tangible.
Yeah.
Because people that are not saved are looking for something tangible. They don't know how to look for something spiritual yet. Right. So we have to be able to nurture them into being able to do that. And the way that we do that is that we have to be spiritual enough to show them what spirituality is. And we can't be spiritual if we can't talk to people, we can't speak to people, we can't touch people. You know, some leaders, you can't even get close enough to them because their bodyguard said no.
Security.
So, We have to take away these earthly things that we're bringing into the church, you know, and stop making the church a big business.
They're just superstars.
Yeah, you know,
wow.
Stop doing that, you know, and be that pastor to people.
Yes,
you know,
that shepherd, that under-shepherd.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Jesus told Peter, what? Feed my lamb. Do you love me?
Hallelujah.
To feed my sheep.
Hallelujah.
Do you love me? Three times. To take care of my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what being a pastor is all about. It's shepherding over that flock. And people want these mega churches. Do you really know what you're asking for? So that's not, you know, Moses needs some help.
Okay.
He says, Lord, it's too much coming at me right now, and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have to delegate. You're going to have to delegate. You're going to have some help, you know. But
and
the thing of it is
staying
grounded in the Word. Stay connected, you know, to God.
Mm-hmm.
And because it can be done. We can do all things through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to be in Him, mm-hmm, so He can work through us. So we can get the kingdom work done that God needs done in the earth. Because He needs a willing vessel in order to do that. We are His hands and His feet, with His eyes and ears. You know, we are the ones that He has gifted and graced to do these things.
Right.
Know? But we have to know the source in which it comes from.
Right.
In order for us to fulfill that calling and that purpose that He has in our lives. Amen.
Amen. And it's about love. Each one, teach one. To love, because God is love.
Yes,
and when
is.
We operate in love, we have that ability to be those examples by sight.
Amen.
We have that ability to help, you know, to want to help,
amen,
to be a help for real, and not those selfish, you know, things that we look at, you know, that I need for my church. I need for my people. Who are the church? Yeah, you know.
Help me.
You know, we got to get out of
there. Help me.
Yeah, help me.
So I can help somebody else.
Please,
you know.
Jesus, please.
And that should be the cry of every leader, you know, the beginning of that day, you know, for a fresh anointing,
yeah,
to forgive those things that we do knowingly and unknowingly that was bring reproach to our Father in Heaven's name. We want to have that spirit of excellence, you know, that only comes from the Holy Spirit, from God. So, you know, I'm just so thankful this morning that, you know, that God stirred this up in us,
amen,
you know, to put out into the atmosphere and hoping that someone will get a hold of what it is that we're trying to say, you know. It's still John crying out in the wilderness, you know, that we repent. You know, from those things that are really hindering the church to be the church that God wants it to be.
All right, well, I definitely enjoyed it this morning,
amen,
dear heart. And if you'll pray us out.
Spirit of the true and living God, we thank you, Father God, for stirring up such a profound and powerful word in us this morning, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray, Father God, that as it goes out into the atmosphere, that it will touch someone's heart, dear Heavenly Father. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be, dear Heavenly Father, to do the work of the kingdom, dear Heavenly Father. So we ask forgiveness for those things, Father God, that we've done, Father God, that have brought reproach against your name, Father God. And we want to live a holy life before you, dear Heavenly Father. So we give you the praise and the honor and the glory right now, Father God. And give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father God, what your spirit is saying to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Jesus. Amen. And we'd like to thank you for joining us. And please have a very blessed day. And remember that no matter what the problem is, the situation, or the circumstance, the message is always love. Amen. Yes, sir. That is excited.
Glory to God. That was good.